Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I preach in your hearing today, Easter, according to the Nicene Creed, part 13, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 742 since January the 20th, 2017, day 1107 since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And the Bible reads, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received," Paul said, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so we believed." Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, for making it plain and easy for us to understand. We praise you and we thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace, which is amazing. We thank you for your holy Son, Jesus Christ, and our Savior. We praise you and we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we individually, as even Christians, Christian believers, we individually and collectively confess our sins, our faults, and our failures unto you, because you said in your word that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. because of what your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did for us on the cross on Good Friday, and how that he died for our sins, was buried as the sacrificial lamb for our sins, and rose on the third day. And so, Holy Father God, wash and cleanse us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. And those of us who are truly born again and saved, fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Put a guard at my heart and mind and tongue, and Lord, to only say that which is for the furtherance of the gospel, for the salvation of lost souls, for the revival of Christians. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and save that nearest soul to hell. Reclaim the backslidden, for we understand today that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So unleash your Spirit. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of people everywhere listening to me now. And we thank you for them as well. And encourage their hearts who are saved. Save those who are lost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Lift this up so I can see it. Ladies and gentlemen, as we are coming to a close of this series, as we close out this wonderful month that contains the celebration of Resurrection Sunday, Easter, regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, Dr. Albert Barnes said it is comparatively immaterial by whom the preaching was done. And Paul points that out in this passage. The establishment of the truth of the preaching is the great matter. And the question by whom it is done is one of secondary importance. Paul is saying we all defend the same great doctrines. We all believe in them. We all insist on the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose. And this doctrine you all have believed. And that's all that matters. This doctrine is confirmed by all who preach, and this enters into the faith of all who believe. End of quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the design of Paul is to affirm that the doctrines which he here refers to were great, undeniable, and fundamental doctrines of Christianity, that they were proclaimed by all the ministers of the true gospel and believed by all Christians. They were therefore immensely important to all, to yea, everybody, and they must enter essentially into the hopes of all. End of quote. Amen, somebody. And so today, my beloved, we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, that is the Holy Bible, and a historical text based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and I emphasize that for a reason. I've already touched on it, that was passed down from the early church all the way to us today. and that is the Nicene Creed. In this series, we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith that was passed down to us from the early church, how that we as Christians who are falling away from it ought to return to it, and how that the world ought to hear it from us so they can believe on Jesus Christ themselves. Now, regarding the development of creeds in the early church, Dr. J.N.D. Kelly said, in contradiction to the view that Paul was a daring doctrinal innovator, virtually the inventor of theology, all the evidence goes to prove that he had a healthy regard for the objective body of truth of teaching authoritatively handed down in the church. You might recall he said, this is the gospel that I have received, that has been passed down to me. I'm passing it on to you. If you are saved today, you are saved because the disciples began to preach the gospel and passed it on down. It's an amazing phenomenon. He goes on to say, nor was he isolated in having this attitude. The apostles considered the ministry of the word, that is, the proclamation of the gospel, of the message with which they were entrusted, to be their overriding duty. The word which was preached to you referred to in 1 Peter presumably formed the basis of baptismal instruction. You might recall that the apostles made up their minds that we're not going to wait on tables. We're going to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And they were talking about the proclamation of the gospel and teaching the word of God to those who were born again. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this series, we have looked at the following factual statements from the Nicene Creed based upon the word of God, the Bible. We believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. It is true, so believe it. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, and I have included this portion, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today we will continue looking at the next section of the new Nicene Creed, if you will, which is stated as follows. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. May I lovingly and strongly encourage everybody under the sound of my voice, if you don't know Christ as Savior, you need to get to know Him as your Savior today. If you already know Him as your Savior, you need to recommit your life to Him based upon what you have just heard. From this passage, ladies and gentlemen, we have seen that Jesus' ascension marked not an ending, but a beginning and a continuation of the work of announcing the kingdom of God. Second, the ascension marks the beginning of the fulfillment of Christ's kingdom. Third, the ascension marked Jesus' return to the Father after the completion of His work. Fourth, in the ascension we also see the expectation of Christ's return. And then fifth, today, the ascension of Christ shows us the coming execution of Christ's judgment. The Nicene Creed states that at His return, Jesus will judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will never end. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, this is where they get it from. It's all based upon the Word of God. It's all based upon the Bible. But as I have shared with you in the past, God has gifted the church with key people who can read the entire Bible and reduce it down so that other people who don't have the same gifts of teaching to understand it and to get it and to run with it. And I thank God for these gifted theologians who can do that. And this is where they got it from. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." In John 5:22, Jesus Christ said, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." We like to think of Jesus Christ returning to take us all back to heaven to be with Him. But the Bible tells us that the Lord is also coming to execute judgment on the living and the dead. And this is where many people have a problem with God and with Jesus. They are so loving and caring and helpful on one hand. They cannot get into their heads how that the same God, the same Jesus, will show wrath and will judge the wicked. He will even deal with Christians who are doing evil and who have done evil. God judges Christians all of the time while we're living here on earth. That's why He tells us, "Judge yourself that you be not judged." You take communion unworthily, you're shacking up, you're a drunkard, you're a whoremonger, yet you're calling yourself a Christian, you're a whore, you're a secret prostitute, selling your body to get by, but you call it being an escort. People are wondering why you can drive that new car and live in that house you're living in, and you're not married, and you don't really have a job. God knows how to chastise his children, and he will. There are some who are dead and in their graves because they refuse to take heed to God's judgment. I'm talking about Christians. And then they look up and they cry, "How could you, God? God, where are you?" And all other ridiculous statements like that. God, where are you? Somebody asked that the other day. When the people blew themselves up in a church in Sri Lanka, people started asking, "God, where are you?" God was in the same place when you were out there shouting and singing and living in the sunshine. He's in the same place. God has not moved. Unfortunately, we as Christians have moved, and we're not alert, we're not sober-minded, we're not vigilant, we're not watchful. And the devil, there's a devil loose. And so, God, he loves us. God has worked miracles for us, too numerous to count. God has blessed us. God has done wonderful things for his people, especially those who have chosen to obey him. But even those who have chosen to obey him have trouble and have tribulation. God has not moved. He's still there. So that is ludicrous to ask, where is God? But we have people in the church who ask that question, like God has done something wrong. He has not done anything wrong. He told you that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. But God does judge those of us who are his children. He chastises us. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. And God is going to judge those who have refused to come to him and trust Jesus as Savior. They have rejected Christ. Jesus Christ is going to judge them. And they will be cast into hell. I know that's not popular, but it is true. You say, "Preacher, don't you know that you can get more flies with honey than what you're using?" Well, number one, I'm not using honey. Number two, I'm not trying to get any flies. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are of necessity praying for the judgment of sin and evil in the world. Because in heaven, just as there will be no suffering, no pain, no heartache, and no tears up there, there will be no sin and no evil to cause suffering, pain, and heartache and tears. And by the way, don't get it twisted. That's what causes pain and heartache and tears. Sin in our lives. Every time. When Jesus Christ returns, the Lord Jesus Christ will execute judgment on the earth. We all know judgment is coming. We all believe what the Sensational Nightingales used to sing, "It's gonna rain, it's gonna rain, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God told Noah in the rainbow sign, it won't be water, but fire next time. It's gonna rain." We all know judgment is coming. We all know that a young man, 19 years old, can't get away with walking up into a Jewish synagogue with a smile and shoot the rabbi and shoot another woman. Just a few days before that, went and shot up a Muslim temple. We all know that some devilish young men can't strap bombs on their backs and walk inside churches and blow everybody to pieces and get away with it. Judgment is coming. It's going to rain one day. Judgment is coming, rest assured. Don't you worry about a thing. Some of you Christians are so bitter and so angry, so upset about stuff, how people have treated you and mistreated you. Don't you worry about a thing. God has made it very clear. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen, somebody. You don't have to worry about it. When Jesus Christ returns, the Lord Jesus Christ will execute judgment on the earth. And all of those who remain in rebellion against him will judge. He will judge and cast into the lake of fire. Don't you fret yourself. Don't you worry about a thing. Those of you who are asking the ridiculous question, where is God? God is where he's always been. Where are you? God is looking for you to show up. God is looking for you and me to show up and pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers into the harvest field. You don't worry about where God is. God is where he's always been. Judgment is coming. And that ought to motivate you to get your heart right with the Lord, confess your sins, repent of your sins, turn from your evil ways, reconnect with your wife, with your husband, your children, stop worrying about other people's families, and get your family together. Try to save the soul of your children who are going to hell in a handbasket. Because judgment is coming, my beloved. Make no mistake about it. You who are complaining, why are the wicked so wicked and seems like they just grow like a green bay tree, seems like they just have all everything in life. Why can't I be like Kim Kardashian? Why can't I be like this person or that person? I'm trying to serve God and I don't have anything like what they have. The Bible tells us very clearly not to be envious of the wicked because judgment is coming. You just focus on God and on Jesus Christ. You just follow God. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow his word. Not your feelings, not what the newspapers say, not what the news throws at you. You follow Jesus Christ. You follow his word because judgment is coming, rest assured. Make sure you're ready. Make sure your family is ready. Make sure your neighbor is ready, those who are lost and on their way to hell. You say, well, I tried to witness. Listen, all you can do is witness and pray. You can't make anybody get saved. Nobody made you get saved. Pray for them. Witness to them. Give them a gospel tract, a pamphlet every now and then. And trust the Lord. For Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, makes it very clear and very plain. And I saw, John said, a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I told you judgment is coming. Everybody's going to have to answer to God. All of the evil you have done, all of the lies you have told, you're going to be standing on nothing before God Almighty one day, if you will, naked before Him. Your whole life, right there in the books. All of your lust, all of your sex before marriage and outside of marriage, all of your incest, all of your child molestation, all of your pornography watching, all of your drunkenness, all of your party hard jam boogie nights, all of it is written down, my beloved. Don't worry about a thing. Did you notice how calm King Solomon was, the wisest man who ever lived, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? He said, you can go ahead on and do what you want to do. You can party hard, man. You can get drunk. You can have multiple women and just run women, man. They have one every day, two or three a day. Just do your thing. Just understand, you know, at the end of the day, judgment is coming. He didn't sweat it. He didn't shout it from the rooftop. He just said, you go ahead and do what you want to do. I just want you to understand now, you will be judged by God. Oh, yes. The great white throne judgment is for sinners. But Christians got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what you did since you've been saved. So, ain't nobody missing judgment, man. So let's keep it real. And the books, the Bible says, they're standing before God. That's where I left you. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things. I said the dead were judged out of those things written, which were written in the books. Everything we do down here is recorded. Oh, yes. Oh, you say, well, preacher, how can that be? Can't nobody keep up with every sin and everything I've ever done, I've ever thought? Have you ever heard of an iPhone, man? Are you kidding me? Right now, I am preaching the Word of God live around the world at the same time. It can be heard on demand here in a little bit. We have two Periscope lines going out of here all around the world, and two Facebook lines going out of here. Not Facebook, but... is that right? What do you call it? Is it Facebook Live? Is that it? Facebook Live lines going out of here. Plus live podcasting. Live on websites. All around the world. All at the same time. If wicked, sinful human beings can create stuff like that, I assure you, God can keep records and tabs on every last one of us. If the government knows where you are and they got your number, your Social Security number, and they can pull up on the screen everything about you from the time you were born, instantaneously, while you're sitting there, I assure you, my beloved, that God and the angels are keeping great records on you and me. You can go ahead and do what you want, Solomon said. Yeah, I'm just letting you know. I did it all, and I'm here to tell you the conclusion of the whole matter is to love God and serve God and obey God, because judgment is coming. So I'm not scared of no judgment from God. Okay, go ahead. And the dead, the Bible says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, what you did. Not only what you said, but what you did. You know what you did. You can act like you have Alzheimer's or amnesia all you want to, but God does not have Alzheimer's. God does not have amnesia. He don't worry about it. So I can't remember some of the things I've done. Well, God does. God remembers very well. And not only that, it's written down in the books to prove it to you. Here, boom. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Those who may have drowned in the sea, think they can't be seen anymore. They're going to be forgotten. No, God's going to bring them back up out of the sea. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. My, my, my. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Every man, every woman according to their works. Your stubbornness, your pharisaic pride, your rebelliousness, your lies, your witchcraft, your lust, all written down. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You do as you please. I'm here to tell you that judgment is coming. It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God told Noah in the rainbow sign, it won't be water, but fire next time. It's gonna rain. Dr. Brian Tabb said crisis, judgment, should infuse believers with hope for a glorious future. God said repeatedly, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And we have too many people, including Christians, who think God is some old grandfather who has amnesia and who's senile, sitting on the throne, and he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't see us. And God even told people, see, y'all think I don't see what you're doing, but I see exactly what you're doing in the black and dark night. For those of you who wait till about 10 o'clock before you go get with your little boo that does not belong to you. Oh, but God sees you. Because it's daylight, as far as God is concerned. He can see everything in the darkness, in the black and dark night. You cut off all the lights you want. You can blow out your little sexual candles all you want. You can extinguish every little light you got going on. God sees everything you're doing, and he knows it. Now, I don't believe God pays attention to a husband and wife and what they do, as long as they're not hurting each other. But God's eyes on those who commit fornication and adultery. God's eyes on those who commit homosexuality and lesbianism. Molesting children, raping children, you devil, you. The ascended Lord will return as judge and king. You can rest assured. In the words of Mr. Cornelius, you can bet your bottom dollar this is going to happen one day. You can take it to the bank. He will abolish injustice. Don't you worry about a thing. Stop fighting for your rights. God is coming. Jesus is coming. It's going to be all right. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Nobody mess with you anymore when Jesus comes. Racism is going to be destroyed. Okay? Because Jesus don't play that. Denae, he will abolish injustice and suffering from injustice. And he will destroy death and set up his kingdom of truth, righteousness, and love. It's going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to be a sad day for many. It's going to be a happy day for many more. Best of all, we will be with our King forever. Amen, somebody. The ascension of Jesus Christ is just as important as his coming, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. For all of it is a part of God's plan. All of it is a part of God's gospel, including what the apostles and over 500 brethren saw with their own eyes, the resurrected Christ. Jesus' exaltation reminds us that even now he is King of kings and Lord of lords right now. That means everything is going to be all right for those who are followers of him, believers in him. Denae, the expectation of his coming gives us hope for the future. And his execution of judgment on earth lets us know that he has everything under control, and that one day his kingdom will fully come and his will be fully done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen, somebody. It's going to rain, folk. It's going to rain. Judgment is coming. The question is, are you ready? James R. Woodford wrote, "Christ above all glory seated, King triumphant, strong to save, dying thou hast death defeated." Untwist. "Buried thou hast spoiled the grave, thou art gone where now is given what no mortal might could gain. On the eternal throne of heaven, in thy Father's power to reign, there thy kingdoms all adore thee, heaven above and earth below, while the depths of hell before thee, trembling and defeated, bow. We, O Lord, with hearts adoring, follow thee above the sky. Hear our prayers, thy grace imploring, lift our souls to thee on high." Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for all of your holy word, the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. And we thank you, Lord, for those parts that people don't want to hear about today. Judgment to come. Hell, the lake of fire. We thank you for all of your truth. And Lord, we, even as Christians, confess our sins, our failures, and false understanding that we will be judged one day too at the judgment seat of Christ for how we carried ourselves as Christians. And Lord, we understand fully as well that by your grace and through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and through our faith in Jesus Christ, we can avoid being at the great white throne judgment, where at the end of that judgment, we will be cast into the lake of fire. And so, Lord, we pray now for those souls who are still acting foolishly, not willing to trust Christ as Savior. Help them to confess their sins and help them to repent and to trust Christ as Savior today. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit and open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears through the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation from the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. If we have never trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we have never received God's gift of salvation, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. If you're not saved, you're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. That's why I shared that with you. The lake of fire is a very real place. Souls are spending eternity in hell, in the lake of fire, right now as I speak. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a dark place. Hell is a place of constant torment. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth, Jesus Christ said. Hell is a place of an agonizing, painful memory. And the saddest aspect of hell, or the lake of fire for me, is that once you go in, you cannot come out. There's no second chance. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. And saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you willing to trust Christ as your Savior today? so that you can enjoy his peace and his joy and have that peace that when you die, you will not go to that awful place called hell or the lake of fire. Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins. He suffered and he bled and he died for your sins, was buried and rose again. Over 500 people saw him after he rose from the dead. And many saw him ascend back to heaven to be with God. No other religious leader, no other founder of a religion has done anything like that. So trust Christ as your Savior today. Pray and ask him to save your soul, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer. Pray with me what some call the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have committed the sin of idolatry. I have stolen things before. I've lusted after people and things before. I've lied before. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I know I deserve hell fire forever. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe the best way that I know how on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, which will be tomorrow if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. We love you by his grace, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. He will save you just now, just now. Jesus will save you. Jesus will save you just now. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing, for what you will do. We thank you, Lord, for your holy gospel and your holy word. Help us to love it, to cherish it, and to live by it, and not live by our feelings and our emotions. Have your holy word and your Holy Spirit to inform our feelings and our emotions, so that we will be consistent and strong and faithful. Lord, we, for example, know your commandment that says, pray without ceasing. So, Lord, from this point forward throughout this day, help everybody here to override their feelings and their emotions and to pray without ceasing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time. Jesus, come to Jesus just now.